Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hello there, everyone. It's Michael Lefter here, and welcome again to the Game on Sunday podcast. And a big thank you to our new sponsors, Club Rossi, who are, of course, the fundraising arm of Roscommon GAA and celebrating their 10th anniversary this year. Well, indeed, thanks to their success, there is great redevelopment work taking place at Dr. Hyde Park, with planning permission recently granted for the new Dermot Early Centre of Excellence. So the Club Rossi, of course, are going to be very busy going forward. If you want more details, you can check it all out at www.gaaroscommon.ie. Now, once again, Martin Carney and Tomás Mackay are here with me. Hello to both of you. How are you keeping?
Hi, Michael.
Very good.
And you?
Do you know what? I know we've talked about this before, but we can't help just kind of having another lash at it, if you like. Coming down to the closing stages of the two leagues in hurling and football, and the fact that really who wants to be there. I saw Peter Canavan at the weekend talking about this, and Peter was suggesting there should be no finals. So obviously, if he's saying there's no finals, there should be no semi-finals either, obviously. But you know, what do we think about that? Do we need all these finals? I know Tomás in hurling, there's actually two very good matches lined up, kind of, you know, but do we need these games just with a championship around the corner?
Well, you see, Michael, we've been saying that now for maybe the last two or three years in terms of the compactness of the season and where that leads to in terms of championship. And but then you look at the four semi-finalists and you look at Kilkenny, and we outlined all the time that Kilkenny will always want to be there. Kilkenny will want to win every semi-final. They'll want to win every league final, no matter what competition it is. They will want to win, and they see that as massive, massive preparation for championship. And I'm sure Derek Lane and his team and backroom team and stuff like that, again, we'll give another one or two guys an opportunity to stake a claim. The Limerick side of it surprised me a little bit in terms of how they barely escaped Munster Championship exit last year, because I thought they were absolutely fantastic in the league, Michael. They had a brilliant win in the league final. They had a great semi-final win in the league last year. And kind of everybody was saying, maybe hand them out the All-Ireland Cup as well at this stage when you're giving them the league trophy, because they were that far ahead of everybody else. But they came a little bit unstuck in the Munster Championship campaign. They were pinned into the corner to get a result against Cork in the last game, and they got it to survive by the skin of their teeth. And I was kind of saying, maybe this time around will be something different. But again, look, who am I to question John Kiely and his management team? Because I suppose in the background, they're introducing some of the older guys back into the fray only in the last couple of weeks. These guys had a long rest. They've probably been in-house training. There's probably been a lot going on behind the scenes in terms of personal training campaigns for these guys. But like as I said last week, I was done watching Kilkenny and Tipperary and the first match back for Cian Lynch, and I thought he was just awesome. So I think he's trying to get more game time into some of the more established guys, but also finding a niche for some of the younger guys to keep that pressure on them as well. So Limerick are taking it very, very serious. And look, we said about Clare, Michael, Clare are the farm team in terms of the league campaign for me. They've been very, very good. They got a nice victory last weekend when they didn't play absolutely brilliant against Offaly, but they still got the score at the last bucket of the game to give them that bit of success. And we also had said about Tipperary, Liam Cahill, the way they came unstuck last year, the way he's trying to unearth new talent, the way he's trying to give younger guys their opportunity to stake a claim in a Tipperary jersey. I felt it was important for them to get to a league side semi-final and maybe go to a league final and actually try and win it, because I think it would be very good for the confidence there. Probably a bit upset in terms of the injury to Seamus Kennedy, and looks like he's gone for 6 months with a serious injury, right? So that's a bit of a blow throughout the league campaign. But he's unearthing new talent there, and this is going to be a great game for them, Clare and Tipperary as well. The downside, Michael, here for me, the two fixtures, one at 4:30 on a Saturday afternoon in Parky Queeve, and the other one at 4:00 in Portlaoise. You have 2 months of teams going to Portlaoise for a league semi-final. I just find it baffling, to be honest with you. You know, so and is that going to be great appeal to supporters to be travelling that distance? Is it going to be the same for Limerick and Kilkenny Saturday afternoon to get in? That's hard enough to get into Cork at times. Like 4:30 on a Saturday afternoon. I don't know the reason behind that either, to be honest with you. But look, a lot of people are saying because of the weather, what's gone on? Limerick is unavailable. I think Turles is unavailable still. A lot of work's been done on the grounds there. So I think it's down to availability of pitches more than anything else. That's why this is happening, you know?
I suppose, Martin, there's, and I'm not comparing now, by the way, like with like here.
Yes.
But you see the development work over the years that, let's say, the Premier League and England, and as I said, that's not a proper comparison and all that. But all these pitchers are pristine because they play in the winter, like the leagues and GAA do and all that kind of stuff. You know, I suppose a lot of county grounds around the country, they don't have those facilities and they don't have that kind of money and all that kind of stuff. You know, and pitchers will break up obviously in the wintertime and leave your options a little bit kind of narrower.
Yeah, it's funny you've mentioned that, Michael, because like if we watched last weekend, you watched the doubleheader, for example, in Pier Stadium. Like I thought the pitch cut up quite badly in the hurling match in the opening game. And like for the footballers in the second game, I thought it was pretty heavy. Now, maybe you were there at the game and maybe Dublin made light of the conditions, so to speak. But later on that night then, you know, I watched Tyrone play Monaghan up in Omagh, and, you know, the entire centre part of the ground was cut to pieces. Not alone was it cut up badly, but it was underwater. And it amazed me in some respects how the game, went ahead at all. Now, I was speaking to one of the umpires who was there, and they were satisfied beforehand, having inspected it, that it was playable, and that aside from that centrepiece on the pitch, the rest of the game was very, very, very firm. But looking at those two grounds just at the weekend, and even in Castlebar on Sunday, I thought the pitch there held up quite well for the game against Derry. But a lot of grounds, I think, at this time of year, struggle to, in a sense, kind of have the quality that is necessary, in particular in hurling, actually, more than in football, for games to go ahead. But go back to your original question, Michael. Do we need a league final? Suppose there are three different constituencies here. There's the players, there's the public, and there's the GAA itself. I'd say players themselves will be glad not to have one. Players themselves will be, you know, it would give them an extra week recovery. It would give them a little bit more time maybe to get over knocks and bruises and all of that kind of thing. The public, I think, have an appetite for it, though. The public have an appetite for league finals in Dublin. And, you know, from the point of view of some of the teams maybe who will be contesting a league final this year, we'd take Division 4, for example, in football. It looks kind of, from what I can see anyway, that Leash, despite their glitch against Leeds from last weekend, probably will end up playing Wexford in the league final. And Leash and Wexford playing in Croke Park, certainly for Wexford footballers, that is a big event. That is a big occasion. And, you know, you go to Armagh and Donegal in Division 2, they are there, they're nailed down to play it. And I know that there's, with Ulster teams, they always love getting a dress rehearsal in Croke Park in the, you know, in case they're there later on in the season. Like, one cannot underestimate the impact. One cannot underestimate the value that players get out of playing on the national stage. And so, in terms of the public, as I said, they have an appetite for the GAA, though, Michael, I think, need that league final, certainly in football, because I think of the promotional stakes, and I think we have fallen away behind other codes this year. And I mean, rugby has had wall-to-wall coverage since last October, and the GAA in many respects has been relegated into third place. Like, you even take last weekend, what is all the talk about after last weekend? It's about the Liverpool versus Manchester United Cup game. It's about maybe the rugby game against Scotland. But, you know, there's less talk about, for example, we take Kerry's win over Roscommon, Dublin's huge display, I thought, really, really excellent display against Galway. And, you know, okay, I didn't see an awful lot of the hurlers, but from a promotional point of view, I think the GAA needs some of these kind of big games in Croke Park just to kind of raise its profile again above where it's at right now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
But Martin, come back to me a small bit there. Whose fault is this then? In terms of, like, I mean, somebody coming out and saying we shouldn't have a final. I mean, what kind of codology is that? It's a national competition. We shouldn't have a final. This is about structures and fixtures, and in terms of how the campaign has been done in terms of league and championship, the compactness of the season.
Yeah,
and how every game is played, and now not alone are we talking about players and the injuries that they're suffering. We're talking about our playing facilities not being available because of the inclement weather and because of the amount of games that are happening. I mean, conditions last weekend were horrible. Players were playing in very, very difficult conditions. And Michael, you mentioned about the Premier League and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. The Premier League season finishes in May. The minute they finish, the bulldozers are gone in. The surface is taken up, completely removed, and it's replaced.
And the players are on holidays tomorrow.
And the players are on holidays. And it's ready for August. You're on your side, heating you of everything. We don't have that, right? Even now at the moment, and I know from my own club perspective, trying to play club matches at the moment, it's next to impossible. Trying to train on a pitch at the moment, it's next to impossible. Because of the weather, you can't get put in machinery in there to do anything. And the GAA need to have a look at this. In terms, you're right. Allianz are a big sponsor of our national leagues. Imagine where would they be at if there's no final? If there's no exposure?
Yeah.
Off the wall stuff completely. There is no issues here in terms of a league final or the league semi-finals in hurling, and there is an appetite. Guys, when they're wrapped up from a Christmas time, can't wait for the new year to happen to get out and go and see their inter-county team playing. But it's the structure. We mentioned about pushing it back a couple of weeks for our Ireland series. And why do you have to say, oh, I don't need to get to a league semi-final or a final because our championship is in 4 weeks' time?
Then to build on that point, actually, Thomas, if you think about it, the month of July, you have very few games. Then, okay, you're going into all Ireland quarterfinals, semifinals, and finals, but that's just for the elite teams, so to speak. And then the month of August, there's nothing. Very often, the best weather of one's year is in that month. And I just think, again, you keep using this word, shoehorn. The way the GAA have shoehorned everything into that tight, compact, six-month period to split club and county, I think it has benefited nobody. And you even take, for example, the county footballer, who, as soon as he's finished his inter-county season, where does he go? He's straight back in the following week into club football, and then wonders maybe later on the year why he's breaking down, why he's picking up injuries, why, for example, his form has gone like out the window, so to speak. And like, I just think, again, we need to look at the way our season is structured. We've rabbited on about this over the last number of weeks, but there's no doubt about it. There is a major, major problem out there. And the GAA, again, I think, needs to address that.
But there's a point, Martin. As you said there a second ago, we keep talking about this, not just here in the podcast, but in other forums as well.
Yeah.
If everybody keeps talking about it, who's actually listening? Because I can't see anybody listening.
You're bang on, Michael. Who are the decision makers here on this? Who are the people that should be listening or should be around the table having this conversation? I mean, we have a new president coming in, Jarrett Burns. Will he be bringing this to the table to say we need to restructure what's going on?
I would be very optimistic it will, Tomás, because, again, remember, he's different to an awful lot of the previous presidents that we've had in recent times. He's a former inter-county player, and an inter-county player from a recent enough era. And I think, and as well as that, he is a son playing inter-county football with Armagh. So there is no president of the GAA more kind of versed and more aware of the situation we are talking about than Jarlath Burns. Now, whether he can kind of, in a sense, convince the Mandarins in Croke Park that make these decisions, that change is needed. That's another story altogether. But there's no doubt about it. Nobody seems to be listening at the moment. And what we're getting at the moment, we're getting players flogged to death. We're having games at the worst time of the year. The number of games we were at this year, Tomás, and you know it, where we were soaked to the skin, where we were playing, where games were played in the worst of weather. I mean, there were numerous. We were blessed up here maybe last Sunday in the game between Mayo and Derry. We got a beautiful afternoon. But that was a huge contrast to previous weekends that we had, where I know myself from being in Omagh a couple of weeks ago, and from again being the last home game Mayo had actually a couple of weeks earlier. And we're soaked to the skin. But anyway, look at that's neither here nor there, but there is no doubt about it. Somebody needs to be listening, but not only listening, but actually taking up, having the courage to address it and change.
So do we think, gentlemen, this whole thing that was proposed a couple of years ago of the split season, and I remember one person in the GAA who was involved in this decision say it was a no-brainer. And I mentioned this before on the podcast. Sometimes you have to use your brains in making decisions about things like this, because I said this to you guys before. Like, the inter-county GAA championship is the big prize. It's the money game in terms of TV and sponsorship and so forth. And if you take away half the summer from it, then... Yeah. You know, where's the logic?
Yeah, you take away half the summer, Michael, but you take away half the games being live on free to air TV
and behind
the paywall, right? So there are many issues here. We've raised this in terms of sponsorship. If I'm a sponsor of a of a Cork senior hurling or football team, and I'm signing the contract in terms of my exposure to be given a Munster Championship campaign and our Ireland Series campaign, even though we haven't been there for 2 or 3 years at this stage. And I don't get that exposure because it's behind a paywall. Am I going to be paying the same level of money in terms of my sponsorship going forward? I don't think you are. And I think there are major, major issues here. I mean, we mentioned about the pitch. And I think it was only for the people that were behind the scenes with Cork GAA when the pitch, when Páirc Uí Chaoimh tore up so badly during the build of the new stadium, maybe when it was complete. I think it was $1.2 million was spent on the pitch to resurface it, to bring it to a level where it is now, where you can play 24-7, right? On it, yeah. No matter what type of weather. But can every ground in the country do that? They can't.
Yeah,
can every ground? You know, they can't. And the investment inside of it, right? So I think there are major issues there. And the biggest fear here, right, that the biggest fear here is the players. And I'm hearing more and more and more, how much more of a commitment can the players give? I see some big articles coming out in terms of the Camogie front there. I saw a Camogie is there from Kilkenny, Katie Power coming out very, very strong.
I saw that, yeah.
See that, right? That there's, like, they'd have to ask their mother and father or their partner at the end of the month for money for diesel to go to training for inter-county levels, that they don't have the money.
That's just pure lunacy, that kind of stuff.
It's incredible.
It's lunacy, but it's commonplace, Michael. It's across the board.
I know that, Martin. And the problem, but it was, as Tomás alluded to there, the Kilkenny player said this, had a promotion for Camogie.
That's right. A promotional event, Michael. Yeah.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
And like, you just look at that and you replicate that all over the country. And like, and they're saying they don't want that thing more. That girl was saying, Katie, they don't want that thing much more than the pride and the honour for playing for their county. They're still in the old school. That's it. They never mentioned anything about playing for play, right, or anything like that. But the fact is that it's costing the money every month to go with their inter-county team at this stage. How long can that last, Michael, for people?
It's not going to last. I'll answer that for you. It's not going to last very much longer.
No, I'd agree with you. Yeah. But also from a playing point of view, okay, we go back to Tomás's point, first of all, in relation to the sponsor. You said, Tomás, the sponsor wants, they want their brand exposed. They want their brand exposed, you know, repeatedly and at the highest level and in front of the biggest audience possible on free-to-air television. That's not going to happen. That's simply not going to happen. The second thing from a player point of view, and we've seen it again and again, we've spoken about this again and again, the window for recovery time is compressed all the time with footballers and hurlers. If they pick up an injury now, for example, their season is gone. You know, it's the end of March. If they pick up a bad hamstring injury, we were talking about this before we came on air. If they pick up a bad hamstring injury, it's a minimum of 6 weeks. And that, in effect, will rule them out of provincial championship, certainly in football. And I just think that, you know, the theory behind the split season, it was fine in theory, but the reality has proved something different. And now that we're in, how many years are we with it now? Is it the third year of the split season?
It's the third year.
I think the warts are beginning to be are being exposed now. The problems are being exposed, and I think there's a hard look needed on whether this is benefiting the GAA, whether it's benefiting players, and the time that players are expected to give their sport nowadays is, to me, it has gone off the wall completely. Like their training, I think it's supposed to officially start, is it November? But most of them are training from the beginning of October at a time when they're still involved in club. Then you have the guys playing colleges football, you know, playing Sigurdsson and Fitzgibbon Cup and all of that. And then, for example, you know, with underage lads, with under 20s, and they're, for example, going into their season right now in the next couple of weeks. And I don't know where they, you know, something is going to give fairly soon. As you said, Michael, this here is heading for a wall, for a shuddering crash. And unless, and it needs to be looked at very, very seriously, but not looked at. Change is needed again, whether we like it or not.
No, I think you're right, guys. And I leave it there because I have absolutely no doubt we'll be returning to this topic again and again, unfortunately, and we shouldn't be, you know. Every sport needs a tweak. There's no question about that. But this isn't about a tweak. This is kind of fundamental kind of stuff we're talking about. Anyway, let's actually talk about the games, Martin, for a while, because we have a big round of GAA matches, football matches, coming up at the weekend, and some very important games in the divisions, the various divisions. If we look at Division 1, it's a kind of a toss of a coin between a couple of counties. The Galway, Roscommon, for example, in Division 1. Who's going to stay up? Who isn't? You know, and what I'm looking at here is there's Derry and Roscommon, there's Kerry and Galway. I'm not quite sure if I can see Galway win that, but let's see what happens there. But the Derry Roscommon match, I mean, Derry have been flying it, Martin. But Roscommon need this.
Yeah, well, Roscommon, it was very interesting listening to their manager after the game on Sunday. He was so bullish about the prospects of going up to Celtic Park and playing Derry. And, you know, in some respects, again, it links in with our previous point. I see Mickey Hart this weekend. Mickey Hart knows that he's in the National League final. He's on 10 points. And even were he to lose this, unless Kerry had a huge win over Galway, Derry would still be in the league final. And I see him, you know, watching Derry last weekend against Mayo, looking at the Glen lads, the lads that won the All-Ireland final, Conor Glass, for example, was practically anonymous in that game until the last 10 minutes. The appetite that you would like to see him having coming into the important part of the season, I just didn't think it was there. Now, it's against that Ethan Doherty, or young Doherty lad at wing forward, I thought was very, very good, one of the other Glen lads. But I just think this weekend, Mickey Hart might rest a couple of players, and it might open the door somewhat for Roscommon. It might give them, you know, Roscommon, to my mind, have a good attack, have some excellent footballers like, I know, like last weekend, Dara Craig got a couple of good points, Donny Smith, a few good scores, but Dermot Morta had a quiet game on the scoreboard. But I think if those guys get sufficient ball against Derry, and looking at how poorest the Derry defence was last weekend, in particular to a long balls put into them, then I wouldn't rule out Roscommon's chances there. And I would say that they could scrape a win there. But again, it may come down to the strength of the team that they face and whether or not Mickey Hart rests some players prior to what will be a league final the following weekend.
Yeah. Tomás, your own energy in football here. A very big win. Well, a good win over Meath the last day out. And it was interesting that Cork had been in Portugal on a warm weather training camp during the week before that match. And Meath actually played quite well in it. But in the last 10 minutes of the game or whatever it was, Jesus, Cork just blew them away. So maybe the answer here is to go to Portugal for a week.
Well, you plenty of sunshine, Michael. The factor 20 or the factor 5 out, and then nice little relaxing day by the pool, maybe in a cocktail or two, and then.
I'm not quite sure if Cork were actually taking the Portugal to drink cocktails, but.
No, but there's no doubt about it, Michael. If you look at the late stages of that game, Cork ended up that game actually scoring 8 of the last 9 points. It looked for a long time as if Meath were going to win that. But again, the benefits of that warm weather training, and apart from the training side, it's the fact that it bonds players. It helps players to get to to know each other a little bit better, to understand each other's way of playing, and to maybe, you know, them from a kind of, shall we say, a coaching point of view, to work on things like kickouts, to work on free kick routines and all of that. And like, it certainly was a benefit to them. And what, again, with Cork's situation, like, it's extraordinary how poorly they started the league. how you know they had two difficult games initially against Donegal and against Louth, where they had to travel. But I think the game against Cavan, that kind of in a sense was an eye opener for them. And to their credit, they have won their three outings since then. And but interesting, I just listened to John Cleary after the match last weekend, and he was a little bit critical that of the goal chances they have had. I think in throughout the National League, they have only converted 1 in 4. They've had a very, very poor record. They've only converted 25% of the goal scoring chances. And he feels if they could improve on that aspect of things, then they would actually maybe, they could become quite a threat during the summer and, you know, maybe put it up to Kerry during the summer. But
yeah, Martin, I just think on that as well, though, you know, that the threat of Tadden Cup that was there would have been detrimental to Cork football going forward, to be honest with you. For the club game, for the county side of things, we mentioned about sponsors, dealing with sponsors and stuff like that as well, and you're not playing in the Sam Maguire series. That would have a massive, massive effect on the count, on the size of a county.
That's right. That's a very good point.
It was kind of like the players were kind of nearly backed into a corner because they were getting a lot of criticism here because the first, as you said, the first two or three matches weren't the best, but they had to travel up country in difficult conditions, a difficult time of the year, and try and get results up country, which are very difficult. You know that yourself, Martin.
But I
must give them credit because I think they're going into almost a championship campaign now in a great mood of confidence. Never going to be overconfident because you have our neighbours over the County Bones, right? That you can't get too confident with, right? But still, there is now a bit of a resolve in the team. And what I liked about them even last weekend, as you said, getting the last number of scores, right, is they're playing a bit more attacking football. They're not going down the defensive mode as much as we've seen previously. They're not going across the field with the sharp passing game as much either. There's a bit more directness there. There's a bit more get the ball to the inside line who've caused a serious, serious threat. And the likes of Brian Hurley and Sherlock and these guys, they are fairly formidable footballers. So why not give them the ball? Let them do the damage at the other end. And I think that's a major, major plus. The last three victories have been very, very impressive for Cork.
Yeah, but what's
interesting as well that is that, and Tomás, that four of Cork's last 8 points in the match where they had a bit of a blitz in the last 10 minutes, four of those points came from substitutes. Stephen Sherlock, that you mentioned there a second ago, being one of them. So there's obviously Tomás talent in the squad.
There is a lot of talent there. And I suppose, look, when you come in, as John Cleary did, there's a lot, there's fact-finding missions trying to find players and find players, can they perform at championship level? And look, and in all, there's still a fair bit to go there. But I think it's a step in the right direction for John Cleary, to be honest with you. I think everybody, the result of Meath was fantastic. But I just think now there's an air of confidence within the squad. It's not just about the starting 15. People say Sherlock should be starting all day long. He should be on the team all day long. But he's been proven very, very effective when he's come off the bench and he's contributed in terms of scores. When the game has opened up, when there is a bit more space, he is a fantastic footballer. And Cleary's definitely seen the benefit of that.
One county, Martin, that I feel a little bit in football, that I feel a little bit sorry for is Limerick. Because they have been relegated from Division 3 to Division 4. And it's a fascination in the sense that a couple of years ago, they were contesting Munster finals and had a nice team. And going back, you know, I accept a little bit. But when Limerick hurlers were nowhere, the Limerick footballers were going quite well. And now they're down in Division 4 next season.
That's right. And again, if you look through the results, I think the only game really where they were badly, really badly beaten was against, I think it was Down, I think, in the second round of the league. But again, for a team like Limerick, and I'm saying this with respect, Michael, God rest my own father, played football with Limerick way, 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 way back. And so I've always had a soft spot for them in football. But for a team like Limerick, they need to get a good start to the season But in their opening games, like I think they lost their first game at home against Antrim. They followed that up then in the second game, got a bad beating against Down, which would have done them a lot of harm. And even though they recovered to a degree, losing to Sligo was the big one, the third game in of their season. And they've never really picked up from that. And they're relegated this weekend. What is fascinating about it at the weekend is they're playing awfully. Now, were they to get, shall we say, to use a rugby term, a strike against the head here and beat awfully, that actually could send awfully down to Division 4, where Wicklow to beat Antrim. So there is a fascinating kind of scenario at the bottom of Division 3. It'll either be Wicklow, I think, or Offaly that would go down. But where, as I said, Limerick, who are speaking about to beat Offaly, then that could well bring Offaly down to Division 4. And for those of us of a certain generation, we remember Offaly as being one of the kingpins of Gaelic football in the country over the years. To see them going down to Division 4, I think, is just very, very, very sad. But the other place, Michael, that I think is fascinating, we talked about Cork in Division 2, and, the certainty of Armagh Donegal in the final, fair enough. But who goes down with Kildare? Will it be Louth? Will it be Fermanagh? And I think myself, Fermanagh won't get anything against Cavan at the weekend, because Cavan, Fermanagh, it's a local derby, it's in Cavan. And it's certainly, I think, after last weekend, with Cavan losing to Armagh, getting the beating they got against Armagh, they'll be very, very keen on actually kind of, shall we say, regrouping again and coming up with a good display, not alone a good display, but a win against Fermanagh. So I would see from Division 2, both Fermanagh and Fermanagh joining Kildare to drop into Division 3.
Yeah, and in actual fact, the last day, Martin, as you remember, Louth gave Fermanagh a hammering and a half in their meeting.
They did indeed.
Or was it 6-17 to 11 points?
They got 6-17. I think that was the actual score. But again, it brings up one of my bugbears, Michael. The saga of the wandering goalkeeper. Because Ross Bogue, he was in some other parish, he was on tour, and the Louth player saw his opportunity and nailed him. But that wasn't the first time, actually. When they played Donegal a number of weeks ago, and he was again out around the halfway line. In fact, he was at times up at the full forward line. But Darrell Wheel got a goal for Donegal in the local derby with Fermanagh, because Bogue was so far out of his goals. And the game we had here in the park in Castlebaron Sunday, Oran Lynch, the Derry goalie, was very, very lucky he wasn't caught with his pants down, because had Ryan O'Donoghue been able to just turn that a little bit quicker, he had an open goal to aim at. Lynch was so far away from where he should have been, So maybe that's something we look at later on in the year.
Martin, do you know what you're doing? Do you know what you're doing?
Go on.
You're trying to bring this into the small ball game. Jesus, I was in Parky Creek when I saw the Cork goalkeeper over at the halfway line, and there was fellas clapping me on the back. Look at our goalkeeper. What is he doing out there? I said, oh my God, get back. The great stalwarts were turning their grave.
On a kind of a lighter note, gentlemen, to all of this thing, when the great Pep Guardiola went to Manchester City all those years ago, Pep was a great believer in this. The goalkeeper is a sweeper at the back and all that kind of stuff. I can't remember who the Manchester City keeper was at the time, but he didn't quite get the philosophy, because the same thing happened to him. He kept getting chipped over his head.
I knew
who Pep Guardiola was, having played for Barcelona and Madrid and all that kind of stuff, But having said that, you're looking at his tactics and saying, is this guy some kind of an idiot?
If you have a hurley and a ball in your hand in your half back line, you could chip a goalkeeper from back there if he's out in the field, right? You can't do it on football.
It makes no sense in hurling.
No,
none whatsoever. Like I saw, for example, this year in, again, a Mayo Kerry game, I saw Colm Reap, the Mayo goalkeeper, acting as sweeper in front of David Clifford. And I thought it was very, very effective. But it's when they go wandering, when they get lost, when they end up like, for example, like I think we saw last weekend, actually, Conor Carroll, the Roscommon goalkeeper. And he was probably so frustrated with his own attack that he ended up getting their first goal from play from out in the right wing. And, you know, it's becoming more and more in vogue with goalkeepers all over the country, and that they seem to have this thing now that not only do they act as sweeper, they can act as an extra attacker. And I think of the top teams, the one that has brought it to a level that maybe I didn't see happening earlier in the season, and that's Niall Morgan, the Tyrone goalkeeper.
Mm-hmm.
He's scored from play a couple of times actually this season, and seems to love getting forward. But it's the whole thing: if the move breaks down, if handling errors occur during the process of going upfield, then it's in the lap of the gods. He's very, very badly exposed, and basically goal chances, when if they happen in situations like that, can be very embarrassing, not alone for the goalkeeper, but for the team and for the people who actually kind of are trying to encourage, shall we say, this new trend.
It's a fascinating one, because I'm a great believer in the notion that, yeah, 14 fellas out the field, and if they're not good enough to win the ball, then...
That's right. And Michael, we came up from a time when the goalkeeper often would have a fag in the corner at half-time. And
the goalkeeper, Martin, often ended up on his backside in the back of the net, having been hit by his own fullback. So
that's right. That's right. Oh, no. I know the trend, in fairness, you see it in soccer. You see, for example, the way teams press now the goalkeeper on the opposite side. But the goalkeeper in soccer now, like, and in fairness, our own Cork, Cueving Kelleher, I think, is outstanding using his feet as a passer of a ball. But you see them more and more nowadays as a slick passers of a ball than simply people fonging it up the field as far as they can to get it away from their own penalty area.
And God bless Cueving, and you're right, he's a fine goalkeeper. This is the Liverpool goalkeeper. He had a pain in his back last Sunday, picking the ball over the back of the net.
You're a Man United. Here, the Man United supporter calling out now. we know where you stand on, Michael.
It's the one time I wasn't supporting a Billy Cork man, Michael, as well. Yeah, absolutely delighted to see that fourth goal going. And obviously,
listen, we'll leave it there. Okay. Thank you again for your time. Excellent. And thanks to Martin and to Moss for joining me. Also, once again, thanks to our sponsors, Club Rossi, who, of course, are the fundraising arm of Roscommon GAA, celebrating their 10th anniversary this year. And because of their success, there's a great redevelopment work taking place down in Dr. Hyde Park in Roscommon, with planning permission recently granted for the new Dermot Early Centre of Excellence. So Club Rossi, they're obviously got plenty to do in the coming months and so forth. And best of luck to them. If you want more information on what they do, by the way, you can go to www.gaaroscommon.ie. Thank you for listening. Talk to you again next week, please God.
Slán go fóill.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.